Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 32. Bedfellows. If there was one thing in the world that Jinx hated more than anything, it was politics. It was like a combination of everything else she hated that had somehow congealed into an individual thing that was worse than the sum of its parts. Which was sort of impressive in a roundabout way. Unfortunately, being a Chemlord meant that politics was kind of her thing now, whether or not she wanted it to be. "Are you ready?" Lux asked as she poked her head into their bedroom. She was dressed to the nines in a silvery gown that wouldn't have looked out of place in Demacia, much less Piltover, with her golden locks braided back over her ears. "Ready as I'm gonna be, Blondie," Jinx muttered as she turned away from the mirror. Her new eye had other ideas, though, and kept twitching around to focus on random things in the room until Jinx smacked the side of her head to get it pointed straight. "You know, I'm starting to think old Vic gave me a bum eye on purpose." Lux's expression softened as she stepped into the room and took Jinx's face in her hands. "He said it would take time to get used to it," she pointed out. "You'll be fine." Fine was relative. It had been 2 weeks since Victor had jammed a brand new metal eye in her skull, and although her regeneration had meant she'd healed up nice and quick, acclimating to the eye itself was a completely different story. It kept trying to focus on things she didn't want it to, or rather, whenever her focus drifted, the eye's focus would drift too. And the problem there was that unless she was building something or blowing something up, her focus tended to drift a lot. "We need to go soon," Lux said as she adjusted Jinx's suit, tie, and jacket. "We shouldn't leave the Barons waiting." Jinx blew a raspberry. "Let 'em rot," she drawled. "I already got 'em the Sun Gate. What more do they want?" "They want to win this war, Jinx," Lux said more formally, and Jinx wilted back, but Lux didn't let her. She put a hand back on Jinx's cheek to turn her face until they were eye to eye again. "And so do I, and so do you. For Zeri."
"Yeah, for Zeri," Jinx echoed,
laying her hand on Lux's.
"Sorry, Blondie, I'm not good at this."
"You're doing just fine, love," Lux said.
Once again, fine was relative. They left the house together, hand in hand, with Pow Pow slung over Jinx's shoulder as usual. Billowan was even more populous than ever. With the opening of the first drop and its expansions, the people of the city seemed to always turn up more scrap from the lower levels. There was a whole side of the township that seemed to be wholly made up of children and their growing number of caretakers. Billowan was not like other parts of Zaun. It was wholly unique, actually. One of the weirdest things about the town was how clean and bright it was. Thanks to its position inside the massive outflow pipe, it didn't have the issue of crap constantly falling on your head from above, which was part of it. The rest of it, though, seemed to be just civic pride. The Bilawari cleaned up after themselves, and they strung up little lights to honor Lux, which Jinx was completely in favor of. She'd even helped put up some of the more elaborate displays. The combination of keeping the place tidy and the Bilawari honoring their Lady Light meant that the place was safer and friendlier than any other ward in Zaun. It was probably the only place in the city someone could walk through in nice clothes and not have to worry about them getting splashed with mud or something more acidic. Per usual, they'd barely made it halfway through the township before acquiring a little parade of hangers-on. Mostly they were kids. Some snipes from around Zaun who were orphaned during the food riots after the edict was passed, but there were plenty of familiar faces, too. Bilawari natives, who still looked at Jinx like she was one of the aspects. That bothered Jinx even more than the title of Chemlord. She hated it when they looked at her like that. Like she was expected to save them again. She'd barely even meant to save them the first time. A long-bodied Hextech-powered cab waited for them at the interior edges of Bilawa, with the wide open pipes connected with the greater internal system. And Jinx had to resist the urge to speed them up and get to it more quickly. Unlike her, Lux actually seemed to enjoy the attention. If nothing else, she at least seemed to like the kids, and the kids loved her. Lux was their favorite. She was bright and beautiful and gold. She had hair and eyes that were a color the snipes of Zaun had probably never seen. and Lux made little displays of lights for them that Jinx herself would have adored back when she was their age. Zonid kids rarely got to see anything bright or pretty. That was one of the reasons her dad had fought, after all. Even if he had been cruel about it, even if he'd taken a lot of lives and hurt a lot of people, he'd done it because he believed that Zon deserved better than what Piltover had made of them.
"I'm sorry, but we have to go. Stay safe," Lux said, waving to the snipes after Jinx opened the cab door for her.
"Remember, kids, matches are fun, and always run with knives," Jinx called.
"Jinx!"
"What? I ended up fine,"
Jinx replied with a grin as she slipped in beside her and shrugged Pow Pow off before saying,
"Take us to Glask's plane, Chuck."
"Yes, sir," Chuck replied from the driver's seat as he put the cab in gear and they rumbled into the pipe streets. Lux nestled in close and laid her head on Jinx's head while Jinx stared out the window, trying to practice focusing her stupid eye on the right things. It was hard enough when she was sitting still, but focusing on moving things was a bitch and a half. Until she got that trick down, there was no way she could get into a firefight. Fortunately, there was no shortage of things to look at. The pipeworks between Billowa and the Glasgotty Ward were once empty places, long stretches of echoing metal that were more often than not just places to get jumped if you traveled through them without thinking. And there were so many little side passages that spiderwebbed out into the greater pipeworks of Zon that any number of muggers or raiders could be hiding in their depths. Now, though, the route was changing. All along the edges of the pipes was scaffolding and superstructure supporting reinforcing bunkers of welded metal. Noxian steelworkers labored alongside Zonite scrappers, and there was already a 2-mark roadmap for turning the whole stretch of pipe into Zon's first major highway. It had actually been a relief to turn over the architectural bullshit to people who actually seemed to enjoy it. It wasn't that Jinx didn't like building things, but the things she enjoyed building tended to remain intact only so long as it took to de-intact something else. Now the whole of the route they were taking was being reinforced. The roads were being flattened and evened out, and the flanks of the pipes were being modified to bear the load of heavy bunkers and emplaced garrisons. When it was done, the entire route between Billowa and Glasgotty would be fully secure. That meant that, for maybe the first time in Zon's history, there would be a safe road, a way for the people to travel without having to worry about being attacked or having to hire a pack of mercs just to get from one ward to another. It was hard to even think about.
"Hey, Blondie, do you think this is what Dad was talking about when he talked about the glorious nation of Zon?" Jinx asked.
"What do you mean?"
Lux asked.
"Just safe roads, enough food, and lit streets?" Jinx wondered. "Was that it?"
Lux sat up and reached out to take Jinx's hand. "Is something wrong with that? That seems like a wonderful thing to fight for."
"I don't know. I never really thought about what the nation of Zon would actually look like, you know?"
Jinx admitted.
"Dad had all these big ideas and talked about glory and being Piltover's equal, but I was just the trigger girl."
Jinx carded her fingers through her hair as she sighed.
"I don't really know what he was actually thinking."
"Well, I can't say I know what your father was thinking about when he imagined Zon as its own nation," Lux began. "But the way you talk about him makes me think he wasn't some petty tyrant looking for power. He seems to have a long view of things."
She squeezed Jinx's hand gently.
"He wanted to take the Sun Gate to open trade, right?"
"Yeah."
"That's the kind of thing someone who thinks in the long term considers," Lux said. "People in it for power never think past the throne, but your father was already considering things like trade routes and city management."
She looked up and out the window at the passing half-built structures.
"If I had to guess, I think this is exactly what he was picturing. And I think he'd be very proud."
"I hope so," Jinx said softly. The drive was long, but there was no shortage of things to see. The whole stretch of the sewers was crawling with workers. By the time they finished, not only would it be a highway, it would be death to any Pilty who tried to reach Billowa by way of Upper Zon. It was the main artery, and the thought of an entire army of Pilties, even those dense hard bodies, trying to get anywhere by this highway was laughable. Not with Noxian engineering combined with some serious Zonite ingenuity. Jinx had spoken to a few of the Noxian siege smiths, and they were all right. They were aces when it came to waging war out in the open, in fact. Fighting in the tight quarters of Zaun was a completely different beast, though. Still, the Noxian soldiers had brought a lot of extra training with them. Glask had been pretty insistent that Zaun learn to fight a war rather than murder indiscriminately, and after the mess of the Sungate, Jinx was inclined to agree. It wasn't that the plan didn't go off, but it could have gone a lot better, and the Zaunite's lack of discipline and real training was starting to tell topside now that Demacia had properly thrown in with Piltover. Even then, Jinx was pretty sure they could take the Pilties. The problem was those black-armored hardbodies, the Cadre Elite. Jinx had seen plenty of Hextech-augmented fighters before, mostly in Zaun, but some out of Piltover, too. She'd never seen anything like those monsters, though. In a scrap, just one of those things nearly killed her, and a handful had nearly wiped out a whole company. For the moment, Jinx guessed they were rare, maybe a company in total throughout all of Piltover, 100 or so. Not enough to wage a war, but enough to man a fortress. If there had been 100 of those things on the Sungate, the toll would have been so much bloodier. Hell, they might have lost. Might have. Those things were best deployed in numbers, but the tight hallways of the gate meant they would be limited no matter how many of them there were. That was probably why only a few had been left to guard it. The Sungate wasn't designed to field large numbers of troops. It wasn't designed to be pierced. It was designed to repel attacks from without, not within. Regardless, the memory of fighting them and that red-headed psychopath that led them haunted Jinx as much as anything. If Piltover could produce those things en masse, then Zaun was going to be in serious trouble.
Glask Tower!
Huh?
Jinx looked up from the window as she realized she had completely zoned out the last leg of the drive.
Already?
Jinx, are you okay? Lux asked as she stepped out of the car. Smacking the side of her head, Jinx forced her eye to focus on Lux as she said,
"Yeah, just thinking."
She groaned as she dragged a hand down her face.
"I hate thinking, but there's so much to think about. How do people do this all day?"
"Practice," Lux said wanly, patting Jinx's back as they began ascending the steps. Looking back, Lux waved at Chuck, then attached herself to Jinx's arm. "But for now, it's time to deal with the matter at hand. With Demacia stepping in, Noxus is going to want a piece of this war, too, and if we're not careful, we could end up one more Noxian vassal state."
Right. Fucking Noxians," Jinx muttered as they entered the lobby.
This time, Jinx turned in Pow-Pow with only minor grumblings, mostly because she knew that Lux would make her do it anyway. Why she couldn't just bring her gun in, Jinx had no idea. It would probably speed up the meetings considerably. "Remember, when we get in there, don't let them run you over," Lux said as they stepped into the lift and punched in the code for the conference level. "Noxians are used to bullying their way over people just like Demacians. If you let them get ahead of steam, you'll never stop them."
"Why would they even want Zaun?" Jinx asked as she tweaked one of the bolts in her arm. "I mean, it's home sweet home, but it's also kind of a shithole."
"Zaun is the artery linking the Conquerors and Guardian Seas, Jinx," Lux said quietly. "If this war goes in Zaun's favor and Noxus were to gain control of it, they would be able to field the full might of the Noxian Armada against Demacia in a matter of weeks."
"Ow,"
Jinx grimaced. Put like that, it definitely made sense. "And likewise, if Demacia were to gain a foothold in Zaun through Piltover, they could send their own ships to blockade critical Noxian supply ports," Lux continued, then trailed off and sighed before adding, "Like it or not, we've reached the point of no return. Even if Zaun and Piltover were to find some common ground, Demacia and Noxus wouldn't allow peace."
"I hate politics," Jinx said dryly as the lift doors hissed open.
"Me too," Lux replied. They stepped out into a hallway that was crowded with hangers-on from various Chem baronies, as well as Noxians of various houses. They were mostly talking amongst themselves, but a few were intermingling. Jinx ignored them all, despite how they stared. She was the Chem Lord. She was above them. That was what Lux had drilled into her. Besides, as long as she pretended they weren't there, she didn't have to talk to them, which was just a bonus. Jinx threw open the conference room doors and walked in, letting them close behind her with a muffled boom as the heads of the Chem Barons turned to meet her gaze. The usual suspects were all mostly seated, Smeech was crouched in his exosuit next to Margot, and they were all looking at her. There was no more sneering from Petrarch or Aramis. They had been against her being a baron at all, much less Chemlord, but now that the Sun Gate was seized, they looked less suspicious and more concerned. Jinx had proven herself more dangerous than either of them had suspected. Saito and Karvek both came for formal nods, while Karina regarded her imperiously for a moment, smiling faintly before turning back to her conversation with Savika, who was going on hooded. At the end of the table, of course, was Renata Glask, with Seraphine occupying her lap like a favorite cat, but surrounding her weren't the usual sycophants of the Sumps. No, these were the pale-skinned northern plainsmen and women of Noxus. It wasn't hard to tell who their leader was, either. An older woman with snow-white hair, functional, undecorated armor, and a voluminous red robe and cloak combination stood silently nearby, with all the little hangers-on orbiting her as if waiting on her word. Jinx was also sure she was the leader because the moment Jinx set foot in the conference room, the woman's attention snapped onto her like a magnet.
"Ah, the Chem Lord has arrived," the woman said.
She had a thin, hard, smooth voice, like a sharp metal on oiled leather.
"You're less impressive than I imagined."
"Fine by me, since I don't even know who you are, lady,"
Jinx replied as she pushed past the Noxians to drop into the chair at Glask's right hand. Lux didn't sit down beside her, though. She stopped a few meters from the woman and said,
"My wife may not know you, but I do. And I can't say I'm pleased to see you, Lady Naradi."
Even the woman's smile was blade-like.
"Luxana Crown Guard, isn't it? Oh no, I suppose it isn't anymore."
That smile widened.
"Since you were disowned."
"I was only ever a Crown Guard in name. So if you think to prick me with that particular barb, think again," Lux replied.
"Enough chit-chat,"
Renata broke in.
"If everyone could please take their seats, I'd like to get through this with a minimum of bloodshed."
"Of course, Miss Glask. It is, as they say, your house,"
the woman that Lux had called Naradi replied before taking a seat across from Jinx between Karina and Savika. Renata bared her teeth as she sat up, her hand settling possessively on Seraphine's hip.
"It is my house, in fact," she replied. "Now, for those of you who do not—"
"Why are we having this conference in Upper Tongue?"
Petrarch interrupted.
"We are Chem Barons. We speak Gutlau in this place."
Silence answered Petrarch Grimes' accusation for a moment. Then Renata reached into her jacket, calmly drew her pistol, and set it down in clear view of the whole table.
"Interrupt me again,
Baron Grime," Renata said coolly.
"And I will shoot you in the head and have your body dragged off by mangy dogs."
Petrarch seemed to weigh the pros and cons of arguing the threat, before apparently deciding to live and saying,
"Fine, I withdraw my comment."
"Excellent,"
Renata said with a venomous sweetness.
"And as to your question, we are not all barons here. We host our Noxian allies, so we will speak in the trade tongue. If that's too much to ask for any of you, I'm sure you can find your way to the door."
There was no more grumbling, not even from Petrarch. With that settled, Renata finally said,
"Now, as I was saying, for those of you who do not know, this is the commander of the Noxian detachment in Zaun, Lady Ferris Naradi of House Naradi. She will be in overall command of the Noxian forces and will be our liaison to the Triferics. She will be kept apprised of the comings and goings of the war the same as any baron. Is that clear?"
A few mutterings of general assent answered, along with more nodding, before Karina spoke up, asking,
"I'm sorry, but who exactly are you? I can't say I'm familiar with House Naradi, and I've done quite a bit of business with Noxus."
"My house is not numerous, nor are we a commercial house, so I can't say I'm surprised,"
Ferris Naradi replied graciously.
"My family is more deeply involved with research and development through government contracts, as well as direct military action."
"That's one way of putting it," Lux said in a dark voice. Jinx turned to Lux with a raised eyebrow. That was a different tone. Jinx hadn't heard that tone almost ever. Noxians and Demacians had never played nice, so Jinx had expected Lux to dislike or even hate the old biddy they'd sent to lead. What she hadn't expected to hear was, fear.
So the rumors are true, Ferris said quietly. You were a member of Demacia's so-called Radiant, weren't you?
I was. And I know what you and your house have done for Noxus, Lux replied.
Well, don't keep us in suspense, Lady Light,
Renata drawled. Lady Ferris waved off the accusatory tone and smiled.
I'm not here to hide my abilities, Lady Light, so please. Feel free to tell them everything.
Lux bared her teeth and clenched her jaw, and Jinx sat up before reaching out to take Lux's hand and squeeze it, and Lux returned the squeeze twofold as she said, House Naradi is one of the mage lineages of Noxus, specifically blood magic. Lady Naradi, in particular, leads her own special contingent within the Noxian Warhost, don't you?
I do,
Lady Naradi replied. Are they here? Lux asked quietly. Did Noxus actually send them to Zaun? Ferris Naradi's smile was humorless and arid as a Shuriman summer as she said,
Naturally. Who else but the Grey Legion could reliably survive in Zaun's atmosphere?
Shit, Savika muttered as Karvik sat up straight and said, Enough vagaries. What is this Grey Legion exactly? Now that I'm opposed to extra troops, you might be opposed to these, Baron Karvik, Lux said stonily. The Grey Legion are an experimental contingent brought into being by the rituals of House Naradi and the magic of its matriarch. Brought into being from what? Seraphine asked, finally breaking her silence as she sat up, looking more than a little nauseated.
From corpses, of course, Ferris replied. The Grey Legion is devised wholly of the dead, who walk by my will. And I very much look forward to seeing what my experiments produce on this new battlefield.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.